Welcome to the Tea Huddle with Marissa and Kelly,
your only source for gridiron gossip. If you like the NFL playoffs,
and if you like the juice from behind the scenes of the NFL playoffs,
then this is the podcast for you.
Kelly, I've got to say, I have one weekend of NFL playoffs under my belt, and I'm ready for more. I was hooked.
Yeah, your Lions.
My Lions.
Epic win for them.
It was
the city of Detroit it for was you.
For me. I've been with them for so long. It's been two long
your
weeks.
First playoff win.
Their first playoff win since 1991, and I was not there for it, but like
you were
there in spirit.
Yeah.
It was exciting. I feel like that was the close game of the weekend.
Oh yeah, that was the most exciting game to watch for sure.
But bring us up to speed with a little rundown of the weekend of NFL playoffs.
Yeah, it sure was a wild card weekend filled with blowouts and surprises. But this is why I love football, honestly. Especially during the playoff season, anything can happen. You're playing this one game, and if you lose, you're out.
Right. It's all sudden death. Every
sudden,
game.
Yeah.
Like baseball, okay, we'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's
baseball,
no tomorrow.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Hockey, all of them. There's still chances. But football.
Wow. Yeah. Intense.
Sudden death. And some players can handle the stress and some can't. They've proved this past weekend. And I went 4 of 6 of my predictions.
4 out of 6 of our Kelly Predicts the Future was accurately predicted. We were all hoping for 6 of 6, but 4 of 6 is pretty good.
It's okay.
It's great.
But yeah, the Cowboys really, really broke my heart because I had them going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they let a lot of people down.
As we said, some people can't handle the stress.
Dak Prescott.
He was definitely one of those people.
Remind me who they lost to. It's all a blur at this point.
The Packers.
Yeah. I feel like nobody saw that coming. I mean, we sure did.
They lost the Packers. Yeah, they were home in Dallas. Gets loud down there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. They're on to the next game.
Their owner, Jerry Jones, said something like, of any loss, this was the most painful.
Oh, yeah. He was, like, in tears.
I feel like
he's about to go on a firing spree.
Heads are going to roll down.
I mean, as they should, honestly. I feel like when you have the season that they had just to crumble during the playoffs, the wild card round it's not good.
Do you think Dak is done in Texas?
He's 2-5 in the playoffs, so he has a lot.
He's only won 2 playoff games.
Yeah, he can't handle it.
Yeah.
And
maybe
so
he
that's
needs to meditate.
Yeah, he needs to meditate. He needs some anxiety medicine or something to like chill him out.
Definitely.
But he's a good quarterback during the regular season. So maybe they'll find someone else just to take the Cowboys
at
the rest
end.
Of the way. But yeah, let's back up a little bit. Mm-hmm. First matchup of the wild card weekend was the Browns at the Texans. Rookie CJ Stroud really proved himself and outperformed veteran Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco had a terrible game.
It was sad.
He threw more touchdown passes to the Texans than to the Browns. So
that's
not good.
What you want
a lot
to
of pick
happen.
Sixes.
It was very young versus old, new guy versus old guy.
Yeah.
On
young
his
guy
way
won.
In versus on his way out. I mean, I thought from like a narrative standpoint, Joe Flacco should have won because his time's running out. CJ Stroud will have a long career ahead of him. But
yeah, well, that was my hope with my prediction last week.
Yeah, but the results don't care as much about the narrative as I would have liked.
I know, same. Yeah. But happy for CJ Stroud. I think it just proves that he's going to be in the league for a long time and he's a competitive player.
We like him.
And then, sure enough, the Dolphins lost their first playoff game against the Chiefs. I think the bitter cold may have contributed to that. They're not used to
freezing.
That weather at all. Yeah, it was very cold, but the fans look like they're having a good time. So.
Yeah, I think I read, was it this? So the two really snowy games were this one in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like 12 people have been hospitalized for hypothermia.
Oh
I think
God.
It was from this one because they all want to like be cool on ESPN and impress their buddies with taking their shirts off in the snow. And now
just
they're in the
smart.
Hospital.
Not smart.
No one's impressed now.
No. Like the videos of the beers just like frozen solid and exploding.
Yes. There was a video from Arrowhead, I think, not Buffalo. So from the Chiefs game of a bottle of water in the fridge being taken out of the fridge, and then you watch it in real time freeze because the air was colder than inside of the refrigerator.
Yikes.
So you won't catch me there, but I'm glad everybody had fun.
Yeah. The Bills pulled it off in the snow. Yeah. So I guess, you know, if you're used to that cold weather, you can, it's good things will happen. And then the Lions, obviously.
My guys.
Beat Stafford. The most exciting game. The Lions won by 1 point.
Yeah. It was really exciting.
Good luck charm, Marissa.
Yeah. Just hearing like Dan Campbell's post game interview, just like talking about how electric it was there, that you can tell the city wants this so bad.
It's Eminem's pump up.
Yes.
Singing, rapping.
I liked his video. So Eminem from Detroit, huge Lions fan, just like me. And video like pleading with Matthew Stafford to throw the game. Like, don't do this to us.
It worked.
He was going for it. I mean, the Rams, they played a great game. It really, yeah. it wasn't a blowout, yeah. If I do say. I found myself, I was saying this to you earlier, like now rather than looking at the game, officially I'm watching the game. I've crossed a real threshold here. It's so much more fun when you're paying attention.
Yeah, not scrolling. Who on knew? Your phone.
Yes. Good. Yeah.
That game you better have watched every minute of.
Definitely. I'm still like Googling players as they come because then you get fun tidbits about the guys.
We need those too.
Like one of the Rams, Tyler Higbee, was arrested years ago before he got drafted for like a hate crime or something like that. So, you know, these are the fun facts you find out when you're Googling players throughout the game. So I'll still be doing that, but I'll also be paying attention.
Yes. Last game that was played, Eagles, they continued their downward spiral and got eliminated in dramatic fashion.
Very dramatic.
They gave up on the tush push.
The tush push failed.
Yeah. Bucks figured it out.
Everyone was shocked. I saw as the Eagles coach was leaving the field, a fan dumped a bucket of popcorn on him.
He probably deserves that.
And then the highlight of the Eagles game, at least for me, as somebody who watched the Kelce documentary and has decided that I, along with the rest of the Swifties and America, love Jason Kelce. It was his last game as an Eagle. He told the players the next day that he was going to be retiring. You could tell as the game was ending. He had visible tears in his eyes. He didn't take off his helmet. It was like, you know, keeping your sunglasses on when you're about to cry kind of a thing.
Yeah. He like kept thinking about taking it off and then thinking about the cameras in his face. And it was just like a nice like barrier between his emotions, even though we could see.
Definitely.
See through it. Yeah, he think he was hugging the offensive line lineman coach at the end of the game.
That's who that was.
He went up to Kylie. They had like a little moment. They both looked so sad.
Yeah. Somebody said that it looked like she was saying like, stay strong or be strong, something like that. And then he didn't do any press when he was leaving the locker room. Like watching it from the point of view of just like the cameraman where you just see the player, it doesn't look as intense as when you see the scene. And it's like these people just played a game that they either won or half of the time lost. They're packing up their stuff. There's all these reporters
right in their face,
and he just said like, not today, I have nothing to say, and walked away. It was kind of sad.
Yeah, he wanted to like talk to his team first,
yeah,
share the news there. And it's a lot to like reflect on. You're on the field for the last time, and
yeah,
can't imagine the emotions. But
and I'm, you know, sad for him. He seems sad. However, as I did say on our Christmas episode, that what I wanted for Christmas was for him to retire. Kylie Kelce said, let him still be able to get down on the ground and play with our kids like while he can. Let's not have brain injuries. Let's not have physical injuries. He's had a great career. Philadelphia loves him. America loves him. Just enjoy.
Especially with the tush push. I think he said like whenever that play is called, he just like is like, fuck this, fuck my life.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who has to dive underneath these huge players, and that's gotta hurt.
Yeah. So
rest up.
He can now just have like a nice time.
Yeah, and let's give it up to Jason. He's done so much. He's had a great career, as you said. He is the fifth center in NFL history with at least 6 All-Pro selections.
Fifth in history.
Yeah. And all of the remaining 4 have made it to the Hall of Fame. So we can expect to see Jason there.
That's nice.
Even more than that, he's a team captain. He really brings energy to the team. And I think it's going to be hard for them next year with losing him.
Definitely. Especially physically. If he's the one pushing the Tush.
Basically, yeah.
My whole Twitter feed has just been Swifties mourning Jason Kelce's career. There's all these tweets that are like, 15 years ago, I started listening to Taylor Swift. She wanted to date a football player, and now I find myself weeping over his brother's retirement. There's all these edits.
I mean, I kind of agree. Yeah. I'm one of them.
There's all these edits of like highlights of his career set to this. Do you know her song Long Live?
Yeah.
It's like about like what you've accomplished in your life and look back and with pride. It's like a real anthem of like, you know,
clips of Jason to that song. Yeah. Wow.
It's been a real, like, you know, the Swifties and the Eagles fans have really
feeling it
come together in the emotion here.
We will miss you, Jason, but congrats. Go have fun.
Yes.
With take your a load family. Off. Enjoy your time as a dad.
Yeah.
You've done good. On the flip side, there's an Eagle with a less gracious exit, AJ Brown.
Yes. Okay. So this drama had me glued to my phone all weekend. So last we saw of AJ Brown, who I've been paying close attention to because he was on my fantasy team and he was doing great. And then like his last few games were not great. He did not get a lot of points. And the last regular season game, the press went up to him in the locker room and he like just didn't say anything to anybody. Not in like a, I'm about to retire, I need to really like think about in a sort of like a thoughtful way, like Jason Kelce. He just sort of like rushed out of the locker room.
Don't look at me.
Yeah, like don't talk to me. Don't look at me. And then over the weekend or like end of the week, maybe Friday, he deleted everything off of his Instagram that was related to the Eagles.
Crazy.
Then he fully deactivated his Twitter. So some people are like, okay, he's just like dialed in. He's really focused, like no social media.
No distractions.
Which doesn't hold because why not delete your whole Instagram? Why just delete Eagles content? Then Saturday, he wasn't at practice.
And it's like a wild card playoff game, as we discussed.
Like you're just not going to go. And then it was announced, oh, he's not there because he has a knee injury. Sounds like a fake knee injury to me. But then Saturday night, he was photographed in Atlantic City, New Jersey, ringside at a boxing match, which I feel like what we've learned from how some injured players react, like Joe Burrow, for example, he's there every game. He's on the sidelines. He's like focused. Deshaun Watson doesn't show up, doesn't care. Like,
yeah,
even if you're injured, you can still be part of the team.
Yeah, and you would show think you up. Would want to be during the playoffs, especially supporting your teammates.
Definitely. And I think he was a captain, AJ Brown, because this story just sort of gives me the giggles because they were talking about a couple weeks, like 2 weeks ago, about how the Eagles were deteriorating, falling apart. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Mailata, one of the offensive linemen, he said, all this talk about AJ not being a leader, you guys don't know him like we do. He's a great leader. We had a whole team escape room thing just to build camaraderie. That was AJ. Huh. Like sort of making it sound like he's really there for us. Like he brought us to an escape room.
He said this after he wasn't around?
No, he said this after they lost to the Cardinals.
Okay.
Like one of the worst teams in the league. Yeah. Approaching playoff time. This is how he displays that he's a leader. He brought everybody to an escape room. So anytime a team's like falling apart or like weak on fundamentals, in my head, I'm like, have they tried an escape room?
Honestly, it's kind of brilliant. It really does bring you together.
Well, AJ Brown didn't escape, far, I guess. Yeah, right. So it just seems like since the Cardinals loss, things don't seem harmonious with AJ Brown and his Eagles.
Yeah, I wonder what's happening. What's happening behind closed doors over there?
I feel like, you know, things are getting dramatic when there's like following and unfollowing and deleting posts and deactivating. That's like, you know, the modern day age of just.
Yeah. And it's just clear that like something's wrong with all of Eagles players.
Yeah.
They haven't been themselves. They've been losing.
It'll be interesting to see who stays, who goes, coaches, players.
Yeah. Speaking of coaches, after some of the blowouts this past weekend, several coaches could find themselves in hot water, including, as we were just saying, Eagles coach Nick Sirianni and Mike McCarthy, coach of the Cowboys. They both suffered embarrassing losses to end their season. And I think it's just in the cards for them. They've, especially the Eagles, as we said, they've lost 6 of their past 7 games, and the Cowboys had everything they needed to win the game and just couldn't. So some things to think about for the owners of these teams.
It's so cutthroat. I really didn't know. I mean, I didn't know anything about football, but that like you're bad for one game and you just get fired.
Yeah, that's a hard way to go.
Yeah.
But if you when you lose by that much, it's like,
yeah,
anything can happen.
Okay, so we think Nick Sirianni, we think Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, and if that did happen, there would only be one NFC each coast remaining who hadn't been fired yet this season, which would be Brian Daboll of the New York Giants.
And like he might go also, right? I mean, don't we think there's a possibility there?
It's probably too late for that, especially since they already fired some other coaches.
Oh.
And Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator, he quit, which, okay, this is a little bit of an older story, but still funny. And
we'll stick around for funny.
Yeah. We mentioned them a few weeks ago and how there may be some potential beef between mm-hmm. Daboll and Wink, which they denied. But now we have finally confirmed beef. We love when we can confirm the beef.
Beef is confirmed. Yes. So it's Daboll's basically Wink's boss. Head coach and he's offensive coordinator?
Defensive.
Okay, so Brian Daboll, head coach, Wink Martindale, defensive coordinator. People thought there was beef. They said, no, the only thing we argue about is the last slice of pizza. Ha ha ha, we're best friends. Lies.
Yeah, it turns out that was lies. So after Wink learned that the team was firing two of his closest co-coaches, like offensive lineman coach, special teams coach,
mm-hmm.
he cursed out Brian Daboll, slammed the door, walked out of the room, and flew to Florida. And that, I guess, served as his resignation. Like never came
like
back.
He didn't formally say, like, I'm giving my notice.
I think he did eventually, but, he just didn't come back for a few days.
Wow.
That they never heard from him. And apparently, I looked into this a little bit more. Apparently, Daboll's outrage on the sideline is mm-hmm. a little bit of an issue for the team and for the coaches. Because the Giants GM, general manager, Joe Schoen, began to listen in on the coaches' headsets to monitor what was being said amongst the coaches, because he was pointing fingers at coaches for blowing the game. And
tough
environment out there.
Definitely. I feel like if you're the GM and you have to start eavesdropping because right? you've heard that the head coach is volatile, weird move. To keep that head coach and instead fire all of the other people around.
So we'll see who joins him and how that dynamic works between the new defensive coordinator and Daboll. But
yeah, that's juicy.
But yeah, Brian Dable's still there for now. I think he will be there. Another one, Mike Tomlin, coach of the Steelers. He has said that he plans to return after the Steelers lost to the Bills, but not really sure it's his decision, so we'll see.
We saw how that turned out last week with Pete Carroll, that on like Tuesday he said, or Monday, he said, I am going to be coaching this team again next season. And then on Wednesday, it was announced that he would not be coaching the team again next season, which means that he was fired, that it wasn't his choice. So we wonder about the Steelers.
Will the same thing happen? Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be too surprised, but Pete Carroll, I was surprised about that. And he coached the Seahawks for 14 seasons. And he made the case to remain as coach, but ultimately the decision was made by ownership. And Pete said they are not football people, which is why they disagreed with his strategies. Mm-hmm. So a little tension there.
I read a great story about his, I guess it's a retirement dinner, even. Do you call it retirement if you've been fired?
Maybe they must really respect him, you know?
Yes.
I think that's what it proves.
But I think it was players who threw it for him, not the organization. So on Wednesday, it was announced that he would not be the head coach anymore, aka fired. And within the same day, like within a couple hours, former players, including Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, who were on his 2013 Super Bowl winning team, they co-own a restaurant together in the Seattle area. And they threw this big party for Pete Carroll. They invited all these former players. Pete Carroll said, I was in heaven. He just Aww. It sounds like it was the best night of his life.
That's so sweet.
There were, it sounds like, tons and tons of players there, current players, former players. And then he said, the door opens and Russell Wilson walks in, that he flew up from San Diego. He must have dropped what he was doing immediately, gotten on a plane, gone to dinner. Russell Wilson, who married to Sierra, now on the Broncos, was the quarterback on that Super Bowl winning team. But we have heard since that there was bad blood on the team, that they weren't friends, that maybe he was the problem. Like, he didn't really have a lot of friends.
Yeah, wasn't able to make some connections, which you kind of have to do if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, and that it like came to such a head that they ended up trading him. It sounds from what I've read that it was sort of personality based more so than playing based, the choice to trade him. But he surprised everybody at the dinner and they mended fences. They were chit-chatting.
Yeah, they just supporting their coach.
Yeah, you must have a lot of respect from these guys if like all these things happened so quickly to celebrate you.
Yeah.
He said on a radio show the next day, Pete Carroll said, I'm walking out the door and at the end of it, we're getting ready to go. And Richard and Russell are standing in the doorway and they both look at me and said, look what had to happen for you to get us to talking to one another and having fun. He said it was a pretty great moment. It was priceless.
Oh,
so sweet.
That's very sweet. Richard, I'm glad that they like opened up to each other.
I know.
Like,
I
want coach.
I want to right, like, look at us getting along. Yeah. Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch, who we should talk about him one day because he's so fun. Marshawn Lynch.
He's a great player. Was.
I don't know anything about him as a player, but he's in movies. He's just like a personality.
He can do it all.
So Marshawn Lynch and Richard Sherman have both alluded to the fact that Russell Wilson was like not a teammate, not a friendly teammate, and that they don't have his phone number. And it was more of a call my manager if you want to get in touch with me kind of a thing. And one of them said, like, if I can't contact you directly, I'm not contacting you at all, especially if we went to war together, which like you guys are
spending
in the thick of it, going to a Super Bowl, winning, and you don't even want to like text.
Yeah, that's weird. He just shows up and leaves, sounds like.
Yeah.
But yeah, you need more than that.
But at least for this occasion, everybody was able to let the good times roll, put the bad times in the past.
Yeah, maybe Russell will make note of that for whatever his future holds.
Yeah, be a little more friendly on the Broncos or wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Where do we think he's going to go?
I don't know.
I think I read that people are saying maybe the Patriots.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
But we want a team player now that I'm learning this.
Yeah. So we don't want that.
Yeah. No comment.
Wait, speaking of the Patriots. So
since
we recorded last, announced that Bill Belichick would be parting ways with the Patriots. And so much has happened since then.
I know. He's been moving quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, he wants to work for a winning team.
So would I.
Yeah. He wants to beat Don Shula's record of most coaches' wins in history.
Yeah. If you're that close, I'd want that too.
So, unfortunately, I guess that's not the Patriots is what I'm learning. but I think he's got some options. He's been busy since he left the Patriots.
Yeah.
This past weekend, he was seen on a yacht with the Falcons owner.
Yeah. First, he was just seen. And then like an hour after I heard that, the Falcons tweeted, we have interviewed Bill Belichick. Almost like maybe it was supposed to be like a sneaky thing. But then people found out.
Someone,
so they had to announce it.
There.
Yeah. They had to announce it formally.
I wonder what Bill's like on a yacht. What is he wearing? His cutoff shirt?
A sweatshirt. Yeah.
Is he relaxed?
Yeah. What is with the arm cut? Every time he wears a sweatshirt, the arms are cut off, even when it's cold? Or not always?
Not always, okay.
But a lot
back
of the
in the
time.
Day, it was always. It's kind of faded a little bit. But yeah. I don't know if he's going to go to the Falcons. I can't really see him there. Yeah, I don't think they have a strong enough team right now to really win him over.
I read a Twitter rumor that he has his eyes on, or that like their mutual eyes on between him and the team, a team that still currently has their head coach. So like
could
someone
that
hasn't
Eagles.
Been, could be the Eagles, could be the Steelers. Yeah. Maybe I read that before the Pete Carroll firing happened. So it could have been the Seahawks too.
There's definitely many open positions.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild. But yeah, I think maybe Dallas is another one because they have a really strong team.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would be able to work with Jerry Jones. He has a lot of control over that team. I don't know if that would float with Bill.
We're going to find out sooner or later.
I think the Chargers could be a good placement for him because they proved they have a strong offense but need a better defense, and Bill mm-hmm. specializes in defense. I mean, who doesn't want to be in LA?
Right, exactly. He's had enough of the New England winters.
Or maybe he's just going to be wined and dined by all these teams and then just decide to retire.
Who else has a yacht I can get on? Yeah. But he can buy his own yacht, so.
That's true. He doesn't seem very fun to hang out with. But
I'd rather have Pete Carroll on my yacht. If I had to pick one old yeah. coach to have on my yacht, which would be a weird rule, but you know. And that brings us to our segment.
We've got a special edition of Drip, Drip, Drip.
Yes, the fashions were the talk of the town this weekend. I mean, I guess the football too, but also the fashions. Christian Cuscek has been making some great custom clothes for players and WAGs this season. And this weekend, it was all about her.
Yeah, you could call her the star of Wild Card Weekend.
Yes, and I think people are calling her that. So she is the wife of San Francisco 49ers player Kyle Cuscek.
Kyle and Kristen.
They
very
might
cute.
Be my new favorite NFL couple. They're so cute. We'll get to more about why they're so cute in a minute. They first came on my radar on TikTok. She was recording him watching. Have you seen the movie A Cinderella Story with Hilary Duff?
Course, yeah.
Yes, where Austin Ames, you know, is the quarterback of the high school football team, but he wants to go to Princeton and he doesn't want to play football. Kristen was making Kyle watch it and give his like real football commentary. He's like, this guy's pads don't fit properly. Like, call a play. Isn't there a play clock running?
And it's high school.
Right? Yeah. Maybe there are no play clocks. I've never watched high school football. But they are just really super cute. They have a very cute dynamic. So that is when the Cuscheks found me. But this weekend, they found everybody.
Yeah, I found me this weekend.
So she had been making herself
crazy
fire fits
yeah.
for years and years. And then this season, she made one for Simone Biles. We found her and mentioned her when Debo Samuels was wearing the Brock Purdy MVP vest. And so she made that. They're all on the same team. Like, cool. She posted after the vest, like some other things I've made this season. And it's all reworked old jerseys into.
She put so much work into these.
Yes.
It's wild.
She made an actual football, like the literal football, into a corset top for herself.
Yeah, she took it apart and then rebuilt it. It's insane. It's so impressive.
So she had made pants for Brittany Mahomes before. So we're watching the Chiefs Dolphins game this weekend. Is Taylor going to show up? Is she going to come in such cold weather? What's she going to wear in the cold weather? She gets out of the little golf cart that's designated to drive her into the stadium, and she's wearing this jacket. It's the first time she's worn anything with his name on the back.
True, yeah.
Which, like, maybe it'll be her name
one
day.
Jersey jacket.
And it's a jersey jacket, and it looks to me like the Brock Purdy vest and the Simone Biles vest. I was like, oh, I wonder if Kristen Cuscek made this. Then it shows Patrick Mahomes on the field hugging Brittany Mahomes before he like plays, because she, I guess as a wife, you get sideline access. Taylor hasn't gotten that yet. And you see just Brittany's arm hug Patrick Mahomes, and I'm like, that looks like the same jacket. Are her and Taylor matching? And finally,
different names.
Yeah, different names. And finally, it shows that they were in fact wearing exactly identical, except a Mahomes and a Kelsey Kristen Cuscek original reworked.
She was working
jerseys.
Overtime.
Yes, and what I read, I don't know if this is accurate, but what I read on Twitter is that Brittany asked for a jacket after loving the pants that Kristen had made for her before.
Very
and
cute.
Kristen, as a hustler, small business owning gal, shot her shot and made one, spent hours and hours making one for Taylor, being like, how cool would it be for my business if this worked out? And she wore it, put them both in the box that she shipped to Brittany together. And then she saw Taylor show up wearing her jacket.
Oh, so she sent it to Brittany and then Brittany gave it to
That's what I read. Yeah. Mm. How cool. And
it worked.
It worked. She has since Sunday late afternoon to now gained over 400,000 followers on Instagram. Vogue has written about her. She's just in a different stratosphere.
And Taylor may have helped, but her husband was definitely supporting her. And I think that's the reason why she's blowing up also. He was commenting everywhere. Like,
it was so cute.
Go that's just made by Kristen.
Yeah. Like any single, if I went into his Twitter and you can see like recent likes and replies and tweets, it was just scroll and scroll of made by my wife, Kristen Juice Check original, Kristen Juice Check made this, check her out. I love my wife. She's the best. And then America fell in love with him. I mean, the way he was supporting his wife like that, people, he's stolen all of our hearts. But so they are the cutest. She's so talented. He's so supportive. Love them.
Yeah, keep supporting her. She's crushing it.
Yeah, can't wait to see what else she does.
Yeah, who's going to show up for the playoff games?
And then, so I was looking at her Instagram, and she kept posting, like, if anyone knows anyone at FedEx, if anyone has any connections at FedEx, please help me out. I was working on something really cool for the Lions game tomorrow, but it is stuck in Tennessee. I need a miracle.
Oh, wow.
Or a friend at FedEx. Then the next video that she posts is her working on the, it's an Aiden Hutchinson reworked jersey into a jacket for Taylor Lautner from Twilight, Taylor Swift's ex-boyfriend, but that's irrelevant to anything. Just FedEx saw her tweets because I'm sure everybody was looking at her social media from the weekend. And FedEx found her missing package, hand delivered it to him on the field. So Taylor Lautner was on the field wearing a different outfit. Somebody from FedEx walked up to him on the field. He took off what he was wearing and put that on. And it was a cool moment.
Shout out to FedEx. Well done.
Yeah. Great, like, you know, little commercial for them.
Yeah.
And, but also, your package is lost unless you're famous and Taylor Swift wears your jacket and you get the attention of FedEx. So those were my outfit highlights of the week.
I love them. Love supporting her. But there's also a few other honorable mentions we have to call out here from the players.
Yes.
Their outfits pre-playoffs, you know, they really gotta gotta focus and pick what they feel good in.
Yes,
to
confidence.
Motivate them. Stephon Diggs, he showed up Buffalo's game in a big, colorful crop top sweater.
It did not look appropriate for the temperature.
For the weather. No, I was shocked. I mean, it was really like big poofy sleeves, but yeah, a little short little waist, short on the waist.
He cares about his fashions.
He does. He looked great and it worked because he felt confident walking in there and it showed.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Jones, running back for Green Bay. He had on a sombrero to troll that they were playing in Texas, so I love that. He really leaned into the Texas vibe to show them who's the boss.
Yeah, I guess so.
They won also. So all these outfits.
Yeah. It really does start with how good you feel.
And then Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah of the Browns.
We've talked about him before.
We have to end with him always because his outfits are the best. And of course, he showed up with another cool traditional Ghanaian outfit, this time a little bit more seasonal, a little bit warmer. He was really repping the Browns colors to really motivate him before the game.
Definitely. He did not win, however.
Unfortunately for him.
But if it was a fashion contest, then he would have.
Yes. Shout out to you. And now it's time for the final goss.
Final goss.
So I do feel like we talk about Travis and Taylor a lot, but how could we not? Everybody's talking about them, and this is a football gossip podcast, so like,
yeah,
we have to. But we haven't. They haven't been our final goss.
We've talked about them quite a while, actually. So.
And the rumor mill was working overtime on these two this past week. So for this week's final goss, we are going to address some recent Travis headlines. All right. First up, Life and Style over the weekend brought us this headline. Chiefs Christmas Day loss led to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's first fight. He snapped at her.
It's just ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous. Okay. In the article, they say cracks are clearly beginning to show in the couple's fairy tale romance. Okay. First of all, Life and Style is a gossip magazine with that. Like, TMZ posts things that sources have said to them. TMZ's not going to run like wacky OK Magazine type stuff.
Yeah.
Life and Style is.
They just want the headline.
Yeah, they can post anything at all. And that to me is what this is. how could we possibly? What happened was, in my opinion, he got heated after his bad Christmas Day loss. He threw the helmet. We've talked about that. So they're like, oh, I bet he yelled at her when they got home. Let's write that. Less than a week later, we got a ton of adorable New Year's Eve content from the two of them smooching at midnight. So false. We're calling crap.
There's no source behind this. Yeah. And it's just ridiculous.
Definitely.
No thanks, Life and Style.
Yeah. Pass. The next day, Page Six posted, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce plan to get engaged this summer. / sources. So in the article, it says Taylor and Travis discussed it and there is a plan, the insider claims, but the buzz is they will get engaged on their 1-year anniversary in July. So the only thing, again, I think ridiculous. How can we, like, what? Nobody knows. Even, like, she's wouldn't even know if she's about to get engaged.
Yeah, hopefully she wouldn't know, like, the exact day, too. Right. That's cool.
The thing that was a little bit interesting about this is that it's listed on Page Six as an exclusive, which must mean that they had a source that they spoke to. But the source could be completely...
Like, could I be a source?
I feel like you could be a... Yeah, probably.
Could we be a source?
Yeah, let's be a source. Yeah. In 2024, let's be a source.
Yeah, it's like a real source, though. Yeah. Not like this
one. Not like this one.
Let's, like, let them enjoy their time together.
Yes, they've been dating less than a year. Also, they're not like...
Together all
silly
the time.
Kids who are going to be like, let's get married after 6 months. They're both in their 30s. They both had long-term serious relationships. I feel like they are not going to have an impulsive engagement. But again, I didn't think that they were actually dating when they were dating. So take everything right now I'm saying with a grain of salt. We're speculating here.
Yeah. Let's let them like enjoy each other during the off season and go from there.
Spend some real quality time together and make decisions after that. Daily Mail hopped on the they're about to get engaged train by posting an article saying the same thing and saying the couple held off over the holidays out of fear it would seem like rushed insanity. I mean, I do think it would seem like rushed insanity if they got engaged in the middle of his football season.
Yeah, he's got a lot to focus on.
6 months of dating. But I don't think that anybody from close within their circles called Daily Mail and said they were going to get engaged over the holidays, but they didn't want it to seem like rushed insanity.
Donna, stop calling people.
But then on Monday, TMZ got in the action with an article saying no engagement in the works for now. So I think this one actually does have truth. I think after so many articles over the weekend saying there was an engagement, my theory is that somebody from Taylor or Travis's camp, but probably Taylor, because I think she seems more concerned with what's out there about her personal life than he does.
Just wanting to like live her life.
Yeah. That somebody called TMZ as an unnamed source and said, like, can you just put it out there that they're not getting engaged just to
take the pressure off both of them. There's a lot going on.
Right. So I don't think this means that yes they are or no they aren't, but I do think it means that someone from in the camp said
to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, they're not getting engaged. Everybody chill out.
Yeah.
The TMZ article said our sources also point out they're about to enter a very challenging stage of their relationship. Taylor's continuing her international tour starting in February, which will have her overseas for several months, which is true. He won't be in season anymore.
It is kind of a bummer that like once he's done with football season, then she's on tour.
Yes.
They never have that time to just spend. But I mean, that's the lifestyle that they're used to.
Exactly. And how much of the tour is he going to go on with her? I hope a lot of it.
Yes.
And I hope he is at every one of her shows wearing like a cool, different vintage Taylor Swift fan t-shirt, the way that she shows up in Chiefs gear to all of his shows.
Yeah, let's see if Kristen can help him out.
Yeah, with like a fire reworked T-Swift.
Chiefs apparel.
Yeah. If anyone can do it, it's Christian Juszczyk. Yeah, so mostly we're just here to say, don't ever believe Life and Style. You probably can believe TMZ. But also, we have no idea what they're discussing about the timeline of their relationship. And probably neither do any of these quote-unquote sources.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I think that's it for us today, but keep tuning in for any more updates to Trailer and their relationship as we hear of them, and any other postseason drama. If there's going to be more coaches who are fired, we will have the answers.
And if we don't, we will speculate about them. So be sure to tune in. But until then,
stay juicy.